The most vital activities of ministry and leadership in the local church always begin with prayer. Did you know that Jesus' praying was not only an example for us while he lived among us? It still remains a vital part of his mission and his identity. As spiritual leaders in his church, it's paramount that we not only follow his example, but we take note of what Jesus is praying over his church, over his cities, and over the nations. Today, we're learning to pray with Jesus, right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts Podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Well, hey, welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. It's a brand new year. It's a brand new season. Year two starts today on the Five Gifts Podcast, and we're thrilled you're here with us. Bruce, thanks for being here. You doing good today?
Great to be here. It's a wintry mix in my part of North Carolina right now, and we've had some snow yesterday. It didn't amount to much. It sure was pretty, though. We've had some freezing rain this morning. In fact, I had ice on the car, but I managed to get in my office, get into our podcast studio, and fire up the camera. But I'm excited to be here today. It's a brand new year, brand new season for the Five Gifts Podcast, and we wanted to kick off with a topic that's near to our hearts, and hopefully if you find Charles and I passionate about this, then it might be a little more interesting to you.
Absolutely. Well, like you said, it's a brand new season, new year, new season of the podcast. Man, a whole year. We made it a year's worth of content. And so we're just looking to an even greater year, the second go around. And we are passionate about today's topic. We're talking about praying the way Jesus was praying, or praying what Jesus was praying. And so we want to get into that today. So, Bruce, any opening thoughts about prayer and the importance of why would it even matter that we prayed what Jesus is praying? Why can't we just pray what we want to pray?
Yeah, you know, Charles, I think, and I was just working on some notes that I was making to actually teach on prayer. And I think one of the common ideas when it comes to praying is, what do we say when we pray? Mm-hmm. Maybe we've been in situations where, you know, we're praying with a group of people and we know it's going to come our turn to pray, and we might be self-conscious. What are we going to say?
Yeah.
And, but you know, really the focus of prayer is relationship. It's being with the Father. It's sitting with Christ. It's, being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, getting ready for today, just in that vein of thought, it's quite a revelation to me that Jesus still prays and intercedes. You know, he died for us and was raised to life. He's sitting at the place of honor at God's right hand. That's what Romans tells us. And there he's pleading for us. And
yeah.
So Jesus is interceding. He's praying even today. Charles, what would be your perspective on Jesus as our intercessor?
Well, it's absolutely that. He is our intercessor. No doubt about it. It's one of the cornerstones of Christ's identity as our intercessor. And we can count on that. There are many things that are true about Jesus. And one of those that we're really going to hone in on today is that he is our intercessor. There are so many aspects and so many divine characteristics of Christ and the God that we serve. Man, one of those that really is highlighted is that he is our intercessor. In Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, we read these words. It says, "But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. Man, Jesus is interceding. He is praying for us. He lives, and he lives eternally to intercede on our behalf. He's praying for us. He's praying over us. And he is our intercessor. And so we'll get into this more throughout the episode today. But if Jesus is our intercessor, and I believe he is, but if it's true that he is our intercessor, then there is there should be great urgency on our part to begin to discern and see and listen and hear. What is Jesus praying over me? What's he praying over my life? Because those are the prayers that I want to be praying. I'm not trying to pray my agenda. Prayer is an exercise of discerning and listening to hear what the great intercessor is praying and then join him as he's praying over me. So I just think that's powerful that scripture teaches us that Jesus, he's eternal, and that he lives eternally interceding and praying for us. We tend to view Jesus as our intercessor really with a singular sense. I mean, if we'll be honest, oftentimes we think what Jesus is praying for us, yes, but it's to save us from our sins. And rightfully so, thankfully, he's praying that prayer. But there's so much more that Christ is praying over us. He continues to intercede. Yes, he forgives our sins and we come into a salvation relationship with Jesus. But he continues to pray and intercede for us and over us. He prays over his church and for his church to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to accomplish his mission. So it's not like we enter into the family and the kingdom of God and Jesus ceases praying over us. He lives eternally to intercede for us. And so even after we enter into that salvation relationship, Jesus continuously is praying over you and me, over us, over his church, that we would be filled with his Spirit and that we would fill his mission that he's established us in this earth to fulfill. So he never ceases praying for us and praying over us. The lasting image of this reality is the enthronement of Christ at the right hand of the Father. Peter said on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 33, "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." Listen, even though Jesus is glorified and he's enthroned at the right hand of the Father, He is positioned in a position to both ask the Father and to initiate the plans of the Father. He is still active. He's still pouring out his Spirit, and he is still initiating the Father's plans and the Father's will. Jesus is our intercessor. And if that's all that I said, if that's all that we said today, I think we could take the offering and go home. Jesus is our intercessor. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's praying over us. He's making intercession over his church. And he's praying good things over us. He's praying the Father's will over us as his church. And so take heart to that. Embrace that truth and reality today that you're not alone, Pastor. You're not alone, leader, in this life that Christ has called you to. Jesus is your intercessor, and he is praying the will of the Father over your life today and every day. So, Bruce, anything you would add to that?
Charles, actually, just out of thought as you were sharing that, I'm thinking of Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, and they have conversation. Now, I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I know they're communicating, they're yeah. speaking, they're sharing. And there's an agenda that they have. You know, Jesus, I think Jesus is waiting for the Father to say, "Son, go get the bride." So there's a level of communication that happens there. And I just thought, you know, in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah was privileged to hear that conversation and enter into it. Hearing the heart of the triune Godhead and entering into that, that's, to me, there's something about that that should inform why we pray, why we enter into that conversation with God. Again, we think about prayer in terms of what am I supposed to say? Well, you may need to first think about what am I listening to? What am I hearing?
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, you asked me, what would I add to this? And that was one thought, but you know, another one, and I completely agree, by the way, with everything you said, but, I think the Lord has given me a growing perspective on this, just as I think and pray on it. And even yesterday in our church service, I was preaching on Psalm chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. And that's where the Lord initially turns to King David and said, "You're my son. I've brought you to the throne. I've given you this throne. Don't worry about what the nations do and how they rage. You're my son. So ask of me and I'll give you the nations." Yeah. And so to King David, that was, you know, I'm going to give you the nations to subdue them, to obtain victory over your adversarial enemies. I'm going to give you a stronger position to leverage the peace to work with, you know, collaborative nations, cooperative nations, but I'm giving you the nations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for Jesus, the promise of the nations is he's going to rule over them. He's going to reign. He's going to bring people out of the bondage of sin, and he's going to defeat darkness. He's going to take slaves to sin and turn them into sons of God. And so when God says, "Ask me for the nations, I'll give them to you." And when he says that to Jesus, that's exactly how, you know, history is going to turn out, that Jesus is going to reign. And so, you know, because we're joint heirs with Christ, because we are through Christ, we, as John chapter 1 tells us, we've been given the power to be called sons of God. Romans 8, I think, tells us that we're joint heirs with Christ. So we stand in that place. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places in Ephesians. So, you know, there's a pattern for us, just if you look at just the litany of scripture after scripture after scripture, that we have a partnership with Christ. And I think part of that is engaged with prayer. That whatever Jesus is praying, whatever he's initiating, just as the Father says, "Son, ask me for the nations, I'll give them to you." That's what Jesus is praying. And we're in position through Christ to pray the same thing. That's a pattern for us, to come to the Father as a son and to pray what Jesus is praying. And that's how we begin to enter into his activity and mission. Now, Charles, we teach on passionate core prayer as a mm-hmm. way of praying with Jesus. And we've taught that in the Dominican Republic. We've taught that in Kenya. We teach that in churches. You teach it. In fact, this evening, we're going to have a chance to teach it again.
Yeah.
With another church. So what is passionate core prayer, and why is it so vital to building prayer teams as a spiritual leader in Christ's body?
Sure. Passionate core prayer, it's a way of gathering leaders around the activity of God and to discern. Another way of saying discern, I guess, would be to see. So it's gathering a team of prayer leaders around the activity of God and discerning or seeing, praying what Jesus is praying for his church. So again, if Jesus is the head of his church, and I believe scripture clearly teaches that Jesus is the head of the church. We've looked at scripture already this morning. Jesus is our intercessor. And so in this, what we call passionate core prayer, the pastor brings a team of leaders around, again, the discerned activity of God. And we begin to pray the prayers that Jesus is praying over the church. We're not bringing our agenda. We're not bringing our desires, our thoughts, but we're coming humbly. We're coming in a surrendered, submitted state to the will of the Father, to the will of Christ over his church. He's the head of the church. So we want to pray the way that Jesus is praying over his church. And again, I go back to John 5:19. Again, just as kind of a life verse, excuse me, but also in passionate core praying, you know, here the Pharisees are trying to get Jesus to act in a certain way and behave and be in a certain way. And Jesus says, look, I'm only going to do what I see my Father doing. So Jesus, he's interceding, praying the Father's will. And so now as a passionate core prayer team, we're coming around the activity of God. And so the activity of God would simply be, as we look in the life of the church, as we look in the life of our families, as we look into our personal lives, what is, if I remove the effort of my human hands, if I took my hands off of it, what is God still blessing? What is still supernaturally happening? So again, what's God blessing? If I take my hands off of it, if I quit putting energy and effort into it, what is God still blessing? That's a good indicator of the activity of God. And so we begin to pray around that. We begin to discern what Jesus is praying so that we can pray his words. So with this idea of that kind of prayer in John 5:19, if you have been in a church that I've pastored over the years, you heard this said many times, that if we'll say what Jesus is saying, we'll go where he's going and do what he's doing, then we get to participate in what he's blessing. All that to say is this passionate core prayer, it elevates Christ to his proper position. Jesus is Lord. He is intercessor. He is Lord. He's head of his church. And he's directing us. He's guiding and instructing us through passionate core prayer. Passionate core praying, it calls leaders to prayer. This will be a second principle. It calls leaders to prayer. It calls all church leaders to discern, or again, to see what God wants, so that as a leadership team, we can begin to cry out for the church, for the kingdom of God. So this is something, again, pastor or leader that you want to do. We have to call our leaders to prayer. Now again, I can't say, you know, do what I do, but my rule of thumb and when I pastor is that if you're going to lead with me, then you're going to pray with me in the prayer room. If you can't pray with me, then you can't lead with me. And so all of our leaders, for me, that's just a standard that I set. And that's a standard that I put in place for leadership. If you're going to lead, then you're going to pray with me in the prayer room. And we're going to discern what Jesus is praying. And we're going to boldly declare those prayers over his church. So it calls leaders to prayer. Passionate core prayer, it reveals God. It reveals God to the team and to the church. Excuse me. This kind of praying uncovers aspects of God's nature that he is presently revealing within the believing community. Listen, there's so many aspects to who God is, to his nature, to his character, and to how he reveals himself. And what God is doing in one church, he may be doing something completely different in another church. So in church work, in the church world, much like the rest of our world, it can often become a copycat kind of a league. So instead of going to the source, instead of going to the head of the church, oftentimes we look around the country or the world and say, try to find out what's happening and what's being successful. And we begin to emulate and copy what we view as successful around the country or in our region. And, you know, certainly there's learning we can always glean and that we can always take from churches or organizations that are doing well and finding success. So I'm not, you know, trying to cast a bad light on that. But what I am saying is that God may not want to do in the church you're serving what he's doing in another locale, in another geographic region, in another church, even down the street from where you are. There are a multiplicity of aspects to God's nature and character and to his revealed work in the church. And what Passionate Core Praying does is it helps us to begin to discern how God is revealing himself in the local church that we're serving. And so we begin to unearth and uncover the aspects of God's nature that he wants to reveal in the church where we're at, in the community where we're serving. God can do a great work, but often he chooses to do different kinds of work through different kinds of churches. And so all of that to say, just be careful. Be careful that before we go to what's we deem to be successful in the world, begin to build this prayer team and begin to bring prayer leaders around you. And as a leadership team, go to the source, go to the head of the church who's mm-hmm. praying the will of the Father over the local church you're serving. Ask him, how is he revealing himself? How does he want to reveal himself in and through the local church that he's established you and this leadership team in? So Passionate Core Prayer helps us to uncover the revealed nature of God. And then another aspect of this is that Passionate Core Prayer, it prays the various perspectives of God's will. Passionate Prayer spiritually seizes and it verbally declares the many perspectives of the will of God within the group. And so we've talked about the revealed nature of God in the local church, but also now God's perspective. This team now begins to take hold of what's being discerned, and we seize that, we embrace that, we hold that for this is God's vision for this local church. And now as a team, we begin to boldly declare and begin to boldly verbalize the will of God in and through this local church. And it allows us now as a team to pray with confidence and to pray with boldness, to pray with focus and with clarity, and to pray with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that yes, this is what we have discerned to be God's will for this church. And so now as a team, we can boldly declare, we can seize that. I like that word seize. It's strong, it's urgent, it's powerful. We can seize the perspective, the will of God for this church. And as a leadership team, we can declare boldly God's will over this local church. So just a few thoughts. Any other thoughts you've got, Bruce? From your perspective, what's Passionate Core Prayer?
Well, I think the idea of bringing a team together, a team of leaders in prayer, affirms what the scriptures tell us about the priesthood of all believers, that mm-hmm. you know, we're taught in the Bible that in fact one day we'll gather around the Lamb of God and we'll declare, you've made us a kingdom of priests. And so there's a priesthood that we all share. Just as Jesus is our high priest, we follow his example. And so bringing a team together is to bring together a team of people that are called to pray, a team of people that not only minister to the Lord, but we begin to seek his will and seek his agenda and ask for those things to be done. Just as Jesus intercedes for us, we intercede for the world. We intercede for our communities. We intercede for a church. And I believe that the scriptures teach us that all believers can sense and declare what God wants to do in situations, that we can pray according to the will of God, because we've been given access to know what that is. I think another component of that is that's one way God releases his agenda for the congregation, because our prayer focuses on what God desires for the church. I mean, how many business meetings have been all about what people want for the church? But the prayer room is the place of sensing God's focus, what God wants to do for the church. So we begin to think, what is Jesus praying for the church? And just as you read earlier, Charles, in Hebrews 7:25, that Jesus is ever interceding for us, then we want to tap into that, and we want to discern that. We want to pray that. We want to let Jesus's words be a channel for us to begin to pray over the body. The team, when we pray this way, we verbalize the will of God. Again, it's a semi-public setting where we pray with passion. We're not looking to perform as a worship team on the platform. Man, our audience is God. And so we're wanting to pray with passion. We're wanting to pray in the Spirit. We're wanting to receive all the gifts that are present. And what I think is a common difficulty for some people is praying out loud, where you see in Acts chapter 2, verse 6, in Acts chapter 4, you know, you hear people praying aloud. You hear them verbalizing their prayer to God. You hear them, raising their voices in prayer and seeking the Lord. And so anytime that we begin to come together in prayer, in passionate prayer, we want passion. We want to invite God's activity in his work. And so in bringing people together, we're wanting them to speak out. And now that may take some learning and some, especially if it's a new group, especially new people that you're bringing into your team. The prayer leader needs to direct everyone to pray aloud and to pray over the unified themes. At the same time, so as a prayer leader, you're kind of operating almost as the worship leader does on the platform on Sunday morning. You're prompting it. You're inviting passion. And I think this is really important, because sometimes a prayer team can lose focus if it's not led well. And so we want to encourage pastor leaders that if you're in charge of that prayer team, they're going to follow your cues. They're going to follow your passion. And if you come in at 70%, well, then you should only expect that team to go about 40-50%. Yeah. You're going to have to up your passion to give them permission to be passionate. And so, I think, Charles, those are a few things that I would look to, that I would encourage, that are important for putting together a passionate core prayer team. What else would you add?
Well, passionate core praying, this kind of prayer, it becomes powerful and effective. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, it declares that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. And I go back to a mentor of mine. I've never met him, read a lot of his books and listened to a lot of his teachings, the late Dr. Jack Hayford. And I don't know if I heard in a teaching or read in an article or a book, but somehow over the years I encountered a statement he made about righteousness. And I've just kind of settled on his definition of righteousness. He says that righteousness is saying and doing the right things according to God's definition. And that just makes sense to me. And so I've kind of adopted that as my view my motivator, I guess, for righteousness, saying and doing the right things according to God's definition. So if righteousness is saying and doing the right things according to God's definition, then I look at this scripture in James 5:16, that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So what is righteous prayer? To me, it would be that it would be praying the right things according to God's definition. Again, I'm praying the prayers of Jesus. He's our intercessor. And so as a team, as we bring the team together, we're leading the team in discerning and seeing what Jesus wants in praying the way Jesus is praying. And now it just naturally moves us into righteous prayer. We're praying the right things according to God's definition. And when we align ourselves in prayer that way, you can see that kind of praying becomes powerful and effective. Another principle would be that passionate core praying addresses the spiritual world. Passionate warfare prayer addresses and defeats principalities and powers in the spirit world. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 gives us some instruction. You're talking about, your leadership team, about 10% of the church in this prayer room with you. It's tight, it's intense, it's hot, it's passionate, it's powerful, it's loud, it's intense. And you're concentrating spiritual passion within this prayer team. And what it does is it raises the temperature in the entire congregation. And so, Bruce, we're both North Carolina boys, and so we like good barbecue. In our neck of the woods, they get those pork shoulders on the barbecue pits, and they get their burn barrels out, and they start burning the wood and getting the coals prepared. They just don't light the big pit and then begin to smoke those pork shoulders to make some of the world's finest barbecue. They get the coals ready, and they do it in a small, confined, call them a burn barrel. They'll burn that wood, and the coals will drop to the bottom of the barrel, and they get those coals just white hot. And when those coals are that white hot, blazing in intensity of heat, then they're ready to be put in the pit. And so when those coals are put in the pit, it immediately brings up the temperature. That's what passionate core prayer does. It takes a small group within the church. It intensifies spiritual passion with that group. And then when you release that group into the spiritual life of the church, it's like those white hot coals in a barbecue pit. It instantly brings up the temperature of the church. And so that's another part of passionate core prayer. It concentrates spiritual passion. Then the last thing that I want to mention today is that it raises the spiritual tide. Passionate core praying raises the spiritual tide in the church. When the spiritual tide rises, when those who are praying passionately, then all of the people experience an increase of spiritual presence. So all the boats lift when the tide rises. So in my mind, in my eyes, in my humble and limited opinion, passionate core prayer is one of the most important things as a church leader that we can engage our church in, it's one of the most important teams that we can begin to build in our church. And so we would really encourage you, pastor and leader, begin to engage in these principles, begin to engage and build a team. Bruce, you've got some final thoughts, I think, on a final few principles to help us really galvanize our learning today on passionate core prayer.
Sure, and Charles, it just continues some things you've already shared, especially about the concentration of spiritual passion. I love barbecue, so anytime you talk about getting barbecue ready, the getting coals white hot, man, that speaks volumes into what prayer in a small group can do for the larger congregation. So not only does it concentrate spiritual passion, it raises the spirituality of the entire church when that group is praying, but it also increases spiritual power. I see it constantly in our church setting. When our prayer team connects with the Lord, when we put the time in during the week, and we come together on Sunday morning for that last 10 to 15 minutes before the morning service, there's a difference. Mm-hmm. And it increases the spiritual presence of our congregation. And with that, it increases spiritual power. I think Jesus used that principle in prayer and discipleship where he concentrated intensely upon a few, but then the passion grew and the power expanded. So I believe that's vital. And, along with that, along with the spirituality and the spiritual power that comes, there's a faith and a boldness that accompanies that. It's fascinating to me how when leaders pray, the Holy Spirit begins to release faith. And sometimes it's the encouragement. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are given for the profit of all the body. And I think when God is working and activating spiritual gifts in one person, then it tends to encourage other people to enter into that. And so when we pray with spiritual passion together as a team, there's a faith and a boldness that begins to multiply. It's kind of like momentum. And I even hesitate to use, an earthly team, but in team sports, man, momentum, when there's a synergy among the team and they really get in the zone, it may start with one person, but collectively the other team just begins to feed on that momentum. And, some people are going to say that's surface. Some people are going to say that's emotionalism. Look, all I know is that when the Holy Spirit is moving on people, it's usually not just intended for one. So yeah. there's an opportunity to enter in to what the Holy Spirit is doing, and it should invite our faith. It should invite our boldness to speak and to ask God for things. I go back to what we mentioned earlier when God says, ask me for the nations. Mm-hmm. Those are big things.
Yeah.
That's a lot bigger than the dental bill. That's a lot bigger. That's a lot bigger than almost anything else in life. To be asking God to perform his will for the nations, and that God wants us to be part of that. So prayer in that kind of environment, it invites us to pray with boldness and ask for the big things. And then finally, speaking prophetically, that happens when we pray. Now, a lot of times I think most people are thinking of what is God going to give me to say to somebody else. And I want to tell you that I think maybe the focus of the prophetic needs to be first on listening to what the Lord's saying and declare what he's saying. Mm-hmm. And so when we come together in prayer, we can hear, we can see. I love that you said that about discernment earlier. We're seeing, we're getting clear vision. We're getting understanding, and then we declare it. We declare what God wants. We declare what his agenda is. We declare what he's intending. We declare his heart. That's prophetic prayer, hearing, seeing, and declaring what God wants before it happens. And that's our responsibility and privilege as God's people to come into a place where we're hearing the heart of the Father. We're sensing the mission of Jesus, and we declare it. So, Charles, that's what I would add to a very full podcast content this morning. This has been great for me. This has been fantastic for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Me as well. So again, man, I'm telling you, I've pastored churches. I'll close, I guess, with this little story. excuse me. I remember one church that I pastored. Every pastor knows that when you initially take the church, you just have to be careful about things you change and the speed at which, the rate at which you're changing things. And so you're kind of limited in what you can do. But one thing you can absolutely do is begin to build a prayer team. I begin to build a prayer ministry like we've talked about today. And so I began to do that. And man, it was just amazing as we began to use these prayer principles. And I began to bring leaders around me, and people in the church that were intercessors. And we began to pray in this manner, how there was just a fresh wind of the Spirit, a fresh a fresh release of the gifts of the Spirit, operating in the church and operating through the church in the community. You know, we weren't doing big outreach, and we weren't doing all these things that you think has to happen for there to be increase and momentum to swell within the church. We just began to pray. We began to pray intentionally. What Jesus, our intercessor, was praying over us as he prayed the heart of the Father over this particular local church. And God began to reveal himself as a healer. And we began to see families, physical healings. We began to see families being emotionally healed and reconciled back to one another, marriages in the community. God began to reveal himself as a savior. And we begin to see salvations occur on a regular basis in the church. And it was just amazing as we pressed in and was intentional in praying in this manner. We concentrated spiritual passion, and those coals from the prayer room were released into the church, and the spiritual life just began to radiate in the church, but in out into the community as well. And man, I just in the first year alone, really through a heavy emphasis on passionate core prayer, God turned that church around that was in a pretty severe decline. Through this type of praying, God reversed the course of that church. And of course, all glory goes to God, and I'm thankful for his intervention in that. But it's not to say that it was just for that moment in time. Bruce, you've got testimonies. We've seen this around the world, yes. Throughout our country, throughout the nations that God is taking us to. An immediate impact as pastors began to lead their churches to engage in passionate core prayer. So again, our plea is please begin to engage in this kind of praying. I don't believe it will help you. I'm convinced that God will act and intervene as you align the church you're leading, the groups you're leading in pastoral core praying with the will of the Father. That's exactly what Jesus is praying over you in this moment. So align your families, align your personal life, align the ministries and the churches that you're leading with what Jesus is praying, because he's praying the will of the Father over you. And so our encouragement is to join him today. Join him. Amen. In passionate core prayer, in leading a team of leaders to discern, to see what it is that God wants for you. Well, hey, thanks again for joining us today on the Five Gifts podcast. It's been a thrill and a delight to have you with us along for the journey today. Don't forget, we've got a new website, fivegifts.org. You can check out, you can reach out to Bruce at coachingcardia.com. You can reach me at charlesrusselltraining.com, charlesrussellministries.com. And then something new and exciting we want to mention today, we're beginning to form an educational opportunity for people that are active in ministry to obtain a bachelor's, a master's, possibly even a doctorate. And so if that's you, if that's someone, you're someone that's been looking for those opportunities, pay attention, listen to some further announcements and instruction information coming your way. This format will include in-person instruction, coaching, mentoring, a small group atmosphere, and you can complete your degree in only 2 years. So if you're interested in that, this kind of educational opportunity, contact us today at fivegiftspodcast@icloud.com. So there you have it, brand new opportunity to go further on the journey with us through an educational opportunity. So again, thanks for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next week right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.